Insects and humidity had accelerated the decomposition, though it was strange no animal had disturbed it. According to his didactic memory, Sace was supposed to be fairly brutal carnivores. He led Sewell, Kelly, and Ariadne through the trees to the body and dispatched Ryle to the second. "It's a girl," Ariadne said after examining the remains. She held up a nondescript length of filthy, dripping wet fabric. "This is a skirt." Reza wasn't going to argue. "How did she die?" he asked. "There are no broken bones, no sign of violence. Judging by the way she's curled up between the roots, I'd say she crawled here to die. Poisoned, starving? No way of knowing now." "Scared of the invaders," Reza said thoughtfully. "They probably didn't bother to sequestrate the children." "You mean the adults just ignored her?" Kelly asked in disgust. "Ignored her or drove her away? A child like this wouldn't walk around in the jungle by herself. The village had been established long enough for her to pick up basic jungle lore." Ryle trotted up to the second corpse, emitting a warm feeling of satisfaction as his muzzle touched the putrefying flesh. Reza picked up the sense of accomplishment and expanded the affinity band, allowing himself to see through the hound's enhanced retinas. "It's another kid," he told them. "A bit older. There's a baby in its arms." Ryle could scent more decaying meat in the humid air, three or four blends, all subtly different. Closer to the river, Fenton had picked up a further series of traces. "My God," Reza growled in dismayed whisper. "They're everywhere, all around." A village like Pamir's would start off with a population of about 500. Say 200 families, and they've been here a couple of years. That would mean about 150 children. He stood, scanning the jungle. Slender yellow target graphics slid up over the black and red image in an uncomplicated, unprogrammed reflex. He wanted to shoot something dead. His neural nanomics ordered a slight endocrine infusion, stabilizing the sudden hormonal surge. "Come on, she can't help us any more," he said, and began pushing briskly through the bushes and vines towards the village. He turned his chameleon circuit off, and after a few paces the others followed suit. Pamir's followed the standard configuration of settlements along the Dulus tributaries. A semicircular clearing chopped out of the jungle along the side of the river. Crude single-story houses clustered together, in no particular order at the centre, along with larger barns, a church, a meeting hall, an ivet compound. Wooden jetties ventured 10 or 15 meters into the water, with a few fishing skiffs tied up. Fields and plots ringed the outside, a surfeit of crops pushing out of rich black loam. However, Pamir's layout was all that remained recognizable as the four of them stepped out of the trees. "Where's this light coming from?" Kelly asked, looking round in surprised confusion. As Pat had reported, the village bathed luxuriantly in a bright pool of sunlight, and yellow pollen was thick in the air. She scanned the cloud overhead, but there was no break. Thunder, muted while they were in the trees, rolled insistently around them once more. Ariadne walked on a few paces, activating her full implant sensor suite, as well as the specialist blocks clipped to her belt. She turned a complete circle, sampling the environment. "It's omnidirectional. We're not even leaving shadows. See?" "Like an AV projection," Reza said. "Yes and no. The spectrum matches Lalonde's sun." "Let's go and see what these new houses are made of," he said. Pamir's fields had been left untended. Terrestrial plants were fighting a fierce battle for light and height with the vines that had surged out of the jungle to reclaim their native territory. Fruit was hanging in mouldy white clusters. Yet inside the ring of fields, the grass around the houses was short and tidy, studded with what looked suspiciously like terrestrial daisies. When he had studied the sheriff's satellite images on the flight from Tranquility, Reza had seen the way the village clearings were worn down and streaked with muddy runnels. Grass and weeds grew in patchy clumps, but this was an even, verdant carpet that matched Tranquility's parkland for vitality. Stranger still were the houses. Apart from three burnt-out ruins, the original wooden shacks had been left standing, their planks bleached a pale grey, shuttered windows open to the weather, bark slates slipping and curling, solar cell panels flapping loosely.